This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back into the show. 2 hours in the books, one to go. Enjoying this thoroughly. We started with some Texans. We'll get into them big time here. Hit us at 713-780-ESPN with your number, with any questions, 713-780-3776. You can text us there as well. Barry occasionally glances at the
I do. In fact, you just got one. Question for Jerome. By the way, a lot of people say in Long Live the Rush, you know, you guys are racist. You can't just put a white guy with Jerome and call it the Rush. This isn't the Rush anymore. That's not what this is.
It's you can't do that. Suspect.
That's right.
That's right, damn it.
So get yeah.
Just cause the Rush was better. Don't
no. No, you know, hey, whoa! You cut his mic off.
Don't He's... be mad at Dilly Dilly. Don't be mad at the people.
But a lot of people are texting in saying that they're happy to hear your voice again. Question for Jerome: has he had any talks with the Undertaker? Will he show up at WrestleMania this weekend to confront Cena? Do you watch wrestling?
I don't do wrestling.
You don't watch it at all. You don't text with your boy the Undertaker. What's his real name?
Mark Calloway.
You don't text Mark.
I did attempt to do an interview with him a long time ago, some 15 years ago or something. Well, his people got back to me and said, the Undertaker does not speak. I was like, well, I want to talk to the Undertaker. Put Red on the phone.
I want to talk to the Undertaker.
I want to talk to Red. That's who I want to talk to. He know me.
That's
that
good.
Fool on the phone.
But not happened.
They
huh?
didn't do that. I saw a story yesterday that someone tweeted to me. That was written about him by one of these websites or magazines or something. They say he starred at Waltrip High School basketball.
How bad was he on a scale of Teen Wolf?
Let's just say
Space Jam.
He was the non-wolf teen. Yeah,
yes.
But he was tall. But he made up for his height with no ability. He was not. No, he wasn't a basketball player.
Clumsy dude, right?
He wasn't clumsy. He just wasn't very coordinated and not.
That's
didn't
clumsy.
Have good hands.
If you're not coordinated, that's clumsy.
And he couldn't shoot and didn't have much vertical.
So he couldn't jump. He couldn't shoot.
But
he couldn't dribble.
He was a good teammate. He was there every day.
So
he had your back. Every day, he's right behind you.
What would you say his redeeming qualities as a player was? Oh, he has great attendance. I tell you what, hey, that guy has great attendance and
his
don't
shoes,
sleep on his punctuality.
His shoes were tied every time. You never once saw him stop to tie his shoe.
And I tell you what, he may not be good at defense, but he double knots them so they never come untied. He's good in his own way.
Well,
he's punctual.
Well, we don't know how good at defense he wasn't on the court. So
that's true,
but he's good people though.
Okay,
but yeah, no, he turned that character into something pretty special.
Boy, he did, didn't he?
Nothing wrong with that at all. Speaking of characters, the Texans, well, they were looking hard for another black quarterback.
They were scrambling.
they went and got him one. Go on with your bad self, Bob McNair. Oh no.
Yeah, I thought it was a joke at first, but apparently it's not. So according to CBSSports.com, they're saying that Jonathan Jones of Sports Illustrated is reporting
the Texans just sent out a release.
Did they? Yeah. Joe Webb has signed with the Texans. So the question becomes, is he the third quarterback? Is he an emergency quarterback? Because last year I think he played as the emergency quarterback. But he's played as a wide receiver. I mean, is this just a PR move? Honestly, because it kind of looks that way. What are they doing? I mean, I pulled up his stats because I'm like, well, what is Joe Webb about? Joe Webb was 1-1 in 2010 with Minnesota as a QB. The next year, he played receiver.
Yeah, it was a big upset when he won that one game that he started. But it's you. I heard you say this the other day, or maybe last week, or something. And I wanted to hit you up and tell you how wrong you were about it.
Good. I love that.
I mean, it's nothing to debate. I mean, if I say you're wrong, that you're just wrong. So this, you know, that could be an argument or anything.
Thanks, Dad.
Ridiculous. But you were making the point, and a lot of people have, about it was when the Texans signed Brandon Whedon, and you were making the point, well, look who's available. And there's nothing wrong with that point. It's just wrong and ridiculous because it's the same as when, and newspapers do this all of the time, and it's just idiotic when they say, like, say the Texans had the 20th draft pick in upcoming draft. We would run a big feature listing all the players who've been taken at number 20 over the years. Like, this is the kind of player you can get at 20. It's like, no, you can get every player ever drafted 20 and lower.
Yeah.
Every last one of them at 20, not just the ones that those teams happen to pick.
Right.
So it's the same thing. The Texans have been needing a backup quarterback since halftime of the first game of the season last year.
Yeah.
They didn't just start looking for a backup quarterback last week when they signed Brandon Wheaton and this is all that was available. They knew that day when they benched Tom Savage that he was never going to be worth anything. He wasn't going to be the backup.
The project was over.
Yeah. Right then they knew that this is your team, Deshaun Watson. We need a backup. And you come out with Brandon freaking Wheaton over all of that course of time. That's the move you made. You know, that's a sign of poor planning and bad leadership when that's where you end up. Like I said, no, I'm not saying you're going to be able to find a backup who can win a Super Bowl. However, the last three Super Bowl champions, their backup quarterback started at least four games because that's what happens in the NFL. Guys get hurt. You need to have quality backup. Joe Webb's 31 years old. Ugh. You know, Brandon Wheaton, doesn't matter what his age is.
He's 107,
I
believe.
Do you have a quality backup? And yeah, you can tell me the Texans aren't going to win a Super Bowl anytime. I know they're not because they make moves like this. They're also, they want to be competing for the playoffs. They want to compete to win the division. And when you want to make those kind of moves, two or three games here or there can swing the whole thing. Last year, their backup came in. They had a capable backup last year. They had a great backup last year. He came in and they went 3-3. His name is Deshaun Watson. Yeah. He was the backup.
Yeah.
When that other guy came back out there, what happened? The whole season fell apart.
Well, what you're referring to when I said that is I read a list of names. Was there anybody that stood out that made you think that they were better or a better option than Brandon Wheaton?
Mm-hmm.
And that was names like, I mean, and I'm just using SpotTrack's
right.
free agent list of available quarterbacks. Jay Cutler, Derek Anderson, Mark Sanchez, Matt Moore, guys like that. Those okay. are guys that, yeah, they might be, you but know,
Mark Sanchez is much better than Brandon Wheaton. Not even debatable. Has always been, always was, has delivered more. It's not even debatable.
So, but the question becomes, right. at what price? At what price do you want to pay?
My money.
Yeah, well,
they don't have any money issues. They don't have any salary cap issues. That's not a factor either.
They have room, but they're going to have to pay Clowney. They've got other things that they're going to have. They had a lot of holes before they signed. So
it's not a factor.
I mean, to me,
they've decided they wanted Brandon Wheaton.
Yeah, and I think it's because he knows the system. But
yeah, in the time he played a game and won a game, he had just gotten there. He didn't know the system then. It didn't matter.
But I think
that's
to
knowing
me,
the system's overrated. Tom Savage knew the system.
Yeah.
Brock Osweiler knew the system.
To me, though,
Brian Hoyer knew the system.
No, we're going to be here a while if you started listening to them all.
You started it.
But to me, part of it is you want a guy that can maybe be there for Deshaun Watson that's played a little bit because
you want somebody to clip his toenail.
No, so Joe brought up
that's what you want in the backup.
Joe brought up the point that hey, why not get a guy like Colin Kaepernick because he's similar in style. You're gonna that way the offense doesn't change. The offensive line could get used to it, which makes a good point. But I think also you want a guy that can be able to help Deshaun Watson when he's going through some struggles.
Colin Kaepernick too stupid to help?
Is that where you're going? No, you're looking for a guy that can mentor. Because if you go out...
Colin Kaepernick, he's
I'm not saying that, Jerome. I'm just saying...
Sound like you questioning a black man's intelligence.
Nope. I'm saying that's a guy like Brandon Wheaton has been around for a while. If you got a Jay Cutler,
Colin Kaepernick's a rookie now all of a sudden?
Jesus.
He's been
you're
in
killing me.
Wait, how am I killing you? You're killing yourself.
No, I'm just saying. I didn't say. Dude, how many times, Nick, have I said on this program that Colin Kaepernick should be a backup for the Houston Texans before you get anybody else? Because from a football perspective, he's more than capable than anybody else that's available or that they've signed. That's not my point. My point is, do you want a guy that has been around longer? Yeah, you do. If you want a guy that can mentor a guy.
Dude, hold on. But see what... Well,
I'm talking about from a mentoring, from a being there when he comes off the field after throwing an interception. You can say, "Hey, did you see this? I saw this." Then you have that conversation. That's what you want in a backup.
You're saying Colin Kaepernick is stupid.
I'm not saying that. You're just putting words in my mouth. I'm not saying that at all.
Let's just go to break on this. Colin Kaepernick has played more football than Brandon Wheaton. Colin Kaepernick has been in the NFL longer than Brandon Wheaton. You calling Colin Kaepernick stupid. We'll be back in a minute.
You see? Jerk.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back into the show. Hey, did you see this thing that SportsCenter just tweeted out? Y'all were talking about him off air a second ago.
McGregor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at the video now on TMZ. Apparently, he lost his mind and went after a bus.
Full of Khabib's team.
Yeah, and threw... So I'm watching him run up. He took a dolly and shattered the first window on the bus, throwing it at them.
It's official.
This dude has lost his mind.
His money and fame got to his head. It's official.
No, I thought there was something... I mean, that's...
You can see right here. This is... What's up with TMZ not letting you rewind it? But he basically just takes a dolly and throws it into the first window of the bus.
This is how I was introduced to it. The SportsCenter tweet says NYPD is investigating incident involving Conor McGregor that UFC President Dana White called, quote, the most disgusting thing that has ever happened in the history of this company. So I was thinking little people and monkeys.
No, nothing to do with any of that.
It's got to be more than just throwing something at a bus.
Apparently, on Wednesday, Dana White said that the winner of the Holloway Khabib fight is going to be the undisputed lightweight champion. And so essentially stripping Conor of that title, which Conor's not too happy about.
And his title's being taken, is it for that incident?
No. Just because he hasn't fought in a while. Yeah. And so they're saying, okay, you know what? This is going to be who the champ going forward is. Not interim. He's being stripped of the title.
You know, and now to be fair to Conor McGregor, you would have a hard time getting me back in the octagon after I wore a ski mask in there to fight Floyd Mayweather. And
yeah, it's a huge payday.
Because... And I'm not even joking. You gotta want to get into the octagon to do that kind of thing.
After that kind of payday?
But I mean, that's why ain't a whole lot of wealthy boxers out there. There aren't a whole lot of people who grew up wealthy as kids who turn into professional boxers. It just doesn't happen because you gotta want it. You gotta be fighting for something.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta.
But why would he do that if he still wants to be around the UFC? Why is he trying to, you know, mess with MMA fighters if he doesn't want to be a part of the, you know, still wants the attention, I guess.
I was going to say he's addicted to the attention. And he's a first class jerk. I mean, that is who he is.
Michael Chiesa
that's not all an act, is it?
He gets cut. He gets hospitalized. Rose Namajunas, who's fighting this weekend, almost broke her hand. She was real shaken up by the incident.
There were people on the bus when he threw the thing through the window.
Not to mention that it's vandalism and completely illegal, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, people break stuff all the time. But
they don't throw dollies through bus windows
with people in it.
I mean, I don't know. Was he
trying to hurt somebody?
Yeah, I think he was just in. And then after that, one of his entourage threw a chair at the windshield of the bus, shattering it as well. So apparently, him and his crew just went nuts on this bus.
Yeah, that's
because he wants. I think he wanted this fight. I mean, we talked about it last week. I was of the impression, hey, you know what? If you got Conor to go, you're going to sell more pay per views. Yes, you know the point about it's not enough time for him to really promote it. But you can have another fight again. Yeah. If you're on such short notice, you can up your sales in the short term by adding a guy like that. People are going to watch it just because. And I know it sounded like he wants to still be involved, but you've got to actually fight to be able to hang on to that title.
But I will say this. Okay, if he had just thrown that at the bus and shattered the window, and no glass went anywhere. It just, you know, spread. Nobody got hurt. Then it would just be people are talking about UFC, MMA on a Thursday when they wouldn't be talking about it normally. So,
but it would have made it worse for Conor, I feel like. I think this had to happen.
It wouldn't be bad for the sport. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Part of that
This bus was driving off. He ran in front of it and threw the dolly at the window as it was trying to get out.
He was acting pretty bad, and he went overboard. But now
the UFC has a decision to make because
that's a good point.
They've given him a longer leash than most fighters. Dana White has admitted to that. Now it's going to make them look so bad if they employ this guy again and give him another fight. And they know they need the payday through Conor McGregor because he's without a doubt the biggest draw, not just in MMA, but every MMA promotion there is in the country. Mm-hmm. And he went to the boxing realm and became a huge draw.
Yeah. But let me tell you how Dana White operates. All right. This is a prime example. I'll give you a perfect example. So Dana White will probably cut Conor McGregor and say he will never work again in the UFC. But Dana White is also the guy that said he would never, ever have women fighting in the UFC.
Exactly.
So Dana White's going to do what's best for the UFC, but Dana White's going to also do what he thinks the fans want to see, what he thinks is the best move
from a publicity standpoint.
So to come out and say Conor McGregor is going to be cut would make total sense to me, but don't be surprised when you see him in a year and a half and, hey, we've talked to Conor and he's gone to anger management. Yeah, he's gone to counseling and this and that, and he's back again. But the right move is you cut him now, he gets counseling, you bring him back, big payday fight. You use this as part of the promotion to fight Khabib. Big payday for everybody involved.
It really does make sense. I can see Dana White coming out saying he'll never fight in the UFC again or an octagon again. And then 2-3 years. Look how many chances John Jones got. And he freaking ran away from a situation where there was a pregnant lady in the car and it was a hit and run.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Another great example. But Dana White's going to do what's best for the UFC. And if that's cutting him now, waiting, however long it takes, using the counseling angle, setting up the fight with him and Khabib after he's had time to train and get ready and promote the fight and show this video. Look at this out of control Conor McGregor throwing dollies at a bus that Khabib is on, and people are going to pay for that fight. It makes sense.
No question.
The most disgusting thing that's ever happened in MMA, really?
No, not even close.
I mean, you've got drug users.
This isn't the most disgusting thing, I don't believe.
Users and a lot of other things that have happened.
It's bad. It's a bad look for Conor. Yeah,
that somebody got hurt. Well,
but what was the dude's name?
Be more than bad.
Mike Chiesa. He's a fighter.
No.
It's going to cost him some
money. One of the worst things was the porn star and the MMA fighter. What was his name?
That was
Machine.
Machine Gun. War Machine.
Yeah, War Machine.
He changed his legal name to War Machine, but I forgot.
And he was beating her on the regular. She was a porn star. I forget. Was it Mac?
Christy Mack.
Yeah, it was bad.
That was probably the most disgusting.
That was a big stain.
But John Jones is up
MMA
there too.
And UFC fight. Yeah,
it's up there too.
How John Jones never got a vodka advertiser, I'll never get.
I had my.
He totally should have had. MMA man, if I was Grey Goose,
you gonna go all with it?
Grey Goose should have been on John Jones's shorts for sure. They missed the boat on that one.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was. You don't know the backstory, huh? He got arrested.
No, I know the backstory.
Okay.
He
got arrested for DWI. And I believe he was drinking vodka at the time. But what? Sponsorship opportunity lost.
Kirby Burning. Get a minute.
Jerk.
Green Goose on his shorts. Because he was drinking and driving.
All right.
Oh, that's fun. We'll be back in a
minute. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back into the show. Jerome Solomon subbing in for Joel this afternoon. I mentioned Herm Edwards earlier. He's the head coach in Arizona State. And Herm says that after spring ball, he's going to cut some people.
Uh-oh.
He don't care if they're on scholarship or not. He's treating it like the NFL. You're going to get cut. And you can keep your financial benefits and go to school if you want to stick around, but you don't make the team, you don't make the team.
Dang. Herm's trying to bring in a new culture, huh?
That's a new culture, all right. That's not going to go over real well with the mamas and daddies.
No. And
or the mamas and daddies whose sons are juniors or seniors in high school now. Like,
and he may act like he's going to cut people for various reasons, but as long as you play good, you're probably not getting
this
cut.
Just talk. Well, yeah, but.
I mean, you can get cut for other things.
Yeah, what if you don't play?
You don't show up to meetings on time. You're not at practice all the time. But if you're good, you ain't getting cut.
No, but
you'll get reprimanded.
Right. Yeah, but in college, they cut players all the time. They just, no coach has the nerve to say it.
Oh, that's
they
true.
Just, they make a guy quit. You know, you'll see, oh, so-and-so
put him in a
decided,
shed. Put him in a
decided
shed.
To transfer. Yeah. Mike Leach will do that to you.
Yeah, he will. He'll mess around.
That's just good coaching.
That's just, is that what that is?
He's trying to bring his best out. Trying to teach a guy how to catch in the dark. If you can't catch in the dark, how are you going to be a good tight end?
Mike Leach is the if you could dodge a wrench guy. If you can catch in the dark, you can catch it on the field. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Did you buy into the knife training that Aaron Donald was doing?
No, that had to have been released on Sunday, April 1st, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it reported that it was actual April? Isn't part of the April Fool's you have to tell people it's April Fool's?
No.
You don't have to?
No, I don't think so.
I think that's the rule.
Is it? Or do you just let them figure it out on their own?
I thought you pretty much had to come back.
I don't think you have to tell people. You play a prank. If you don't know you've been pranked, then it's a great prank.
But yeah, that's a prank. April Fool's joke is not a whole different category. No, that's a special day.
But it's the same thing. You're still pranking people. You're tricking them. You're
right,
pretending like something's happening when it's not real.
But it's like the difference in me asking you for candy and me saying, trick or treat, give me candy. I want candy, but on Halloween, I have to say trick or treat. If it's a random Tuesday.
You don't have to.
You have to say April Fool's. That's half the joke.
If you eat
do
a donut.
Thing and then you say, ta-ha. April Fool's.
If you eat a donut filled with mayonnaise on April 2nd, then somebody needs to go, ha, gotcha. But if you eat a donut, if you eat a donut filled with mayonnaise on April 1st, that's your dumbass if you don't know it's April Fool's Day. That's on you. I'm not, because we talked about that. That's one thing I wanted to do to my wife as a prank.
If you
but I'm not going to be like, April Fool's.
One, I don't
like,
eat,
you know what it is.
I don't eat. Food that got white stuff in it anyway. But if you gave me a donut with, if you gave a black man a donut with mayonnaise in it on any day other
fight?
Than April Fool's Day.
You're going to fight?
Is this
what I need to know about these seven rules?
That's not one of them?
Seven rules for white people with black friends? Is that one of them?
Don't play pranks
on black people?
That's pretty much a given.
Don't mess with a black man's food.
You got a black brother. You ought to know that.
I know these rules. I was going, you know, I'm reading them going, mm-hmm, yep, yep.
Help the people out.
I was like, oh, no, number four? No, never been a situation. Not even one.
What's the number four?
You can say the N-word. Never been a situation. Never once did any of my never once did any of my black friends like give me a pass for the weekend. That whole bit that Neil Brennan did about the only white people that can say the N-word is him and the Beastie Boys, that's false.
Mm-mm.
Never got a pass for a weekend. We would ride around. It'd be seven of us in a car, six black dudes and me, riding around listening to NWA.
And they dropping it left and right.
Do you know how hard it is to ride around listening to the new NWA album and you can't sing along? That's not fair. That's just not right. Those are just dudes with attitudes. That's what it was. You got to keep it very generic. And don't get caught slipping while they run in to get a drink. You're in there listening to it by yourself and the back door opens right when you're in the middle. What? Yeah, nope.
Very wise on your part.
Yeah, never once did I get a pass.
You're right about this seat. Really, I'm getting like a crick in my neck.
See?
Trying to turn
it doesn't work good. All right, so here it is. You found this. This is on the root. Seven rules for white people with black friends. Number one, know the line.
You know.
Yeah, this is us trying to make race relations better.
Public service here, right?
Yeah.
Now.
So number one is know the line. Now, I want to know from without reading all these paragraphs, what does that mean, Jerome?
Know the line?
Yeah.
As in how far you can go with a joke?
No. It just says, basically the first thing says, while you might come from a long line of habitual line steppers, please know there are certain thresholds you cannot cross.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Don't mess with a black man's food.
Right. Yeah.
It says, never drink out of a black person's glass or take a bite of their food without permission.
Nope. That's,
Is that about, that's me too. Like, don't touch my food. Maybe that's just how I was brought up. maybe that has to do with who my friends were coming up. But that, Nick can vouch for you. He stole lettuce that I had in a plastic bag. I almost lost my mind. Like, who's messing with my food? He touched my lettuce.
Well, it was in a Ziploc bag.
See?
You went inside. You went inside a Ziploc bag.
I don't know that you did or didn't.
I did not.
You could have put your penis in the bag for a minute and moved it around. I don't know what you did with my lettuce.
Okay, who puts penis in a bag
of lettuce? Would.
Totally. I would not do that.
To prank
I would not do that.
Don't leave.
April Fool's.
Nah, it's April 3rd. Gotcha. All right, number two. So don't cross the line. Number two, be white. There's an infinite number of kind white people, although black people are not a monolith.
Yeah, quit trying to act black.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. There's one kind of white person that's universally despised by black people, the white person who tries too hard. This is the guy that instead of saying hello says, what's up, dog?
What up, dog?
What up, my G?
What up, dog?
Yeah, there's that guy. I was accused of that a lot growing up, a whole lot.
You had extra influence, though. It had to be a challenge for you not to.
I was accused of.
Because you're a longtime rapper, you know. Yes. You had flow, you had game, so you spitting.
But people would obviously, like, there was a word that, like the N-word, but they would put the W at the beginning and call me that or say that. Yeah. I got called a wannabe a lot. And I always told people, that's fine. I mean, you can say what you want to say, but you're a reflection of who your friends are. If you grew up, if you were a black person and you grew up in Brenham around a bunch of country white people.
Weird doggy.
Guess what? You're going to wear Wranglers, probably a cowboy hat. I mean, that's probably... No, you see what I'm saying. You are a reflection of who your friends are. Right. You talk like your friends. You dress like your friends. You listen to the same music. So that was always what I would tell people. But yeah, there is that point where...
The key point, though, is...
Have you watched Atlanta?
It's not an act.
No, yes, no, that's true, too. It's definitely not an act.
There's some people who... grew up in Kingwood and walk around.
And like, yo, what up, my G? Yeah. But like, have you seen Atlanta where they go to that white dude's house?
No, I haven't.
No?
I haven't gotten
I'm ashamed of you. As a black man, you should be watching Atlanta. I don't know what to think about you Jerome.
Why you change your voice?
I don't know. That's my disappointed voice.
Sound like your black father voice. That's what you do on stage when you imitate the black
dude. Damn it, boy. What are you doing? Get out there and watch Atlanta. No, listen. But they had a white dude on there. He had like African stuff in his room and all this. And it was kind of weird. And it was like, yeah, you could tell he was trying too hard. But there's a difference between that and you just happen to, you know, that was who your friends were. Mm-hmm. That was all right. Number three, know your role. So when you're with a black friend, you're the one that's supposed to. Now I'm reading.
You're supposed to pay the check.
Talk. No.
It's reparation.
No.
I mean,
sometimes you may have to tip.
Racist.
Number three, know your role when talking to the police. That's your job, white people, to talk to the police. If you have to call for anything like reservations, to talk to a customer service agent or speak to a manager.
Hello.
Yeah. Explaining white things. Like this one guy, like in the article, he says, man, I was watching Living Single thinking this is the worst year of Living Single. And his white friend was like, no, that you're watching Friends. That's not the same thing. And then vouching for black people with white people. That's your job as well. Number four, you can say the N-word. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. No. Now, you know how many white people are going to read this article?
That invalidates the whole...
I know. They're going to read this article.
Did that come out on April 1st?
Get to number four and be like, yeah, I told you.
I've been waiting on permission.
I told you. It says, if we're discussing the N-word, you can say it. I'm not a child. If you are in a movie... Not like a YouTube, you know, skit. Like, you have to be in a legit movie.
Oh, if you're like, an if you're, actor, yeah,
if you're,
it's a
if
role.
You're, if you're yeah, a plantation you're owner in Django Unchained.
You're Quentin Tarantino.
Yes.
Right. Okay, that's true.
If I can slap the bleep out of you, that's a... And if someone is holding us at gunpoint, what would that be like? I don't understand that one. That might be kind of racist. Hey, man. Don't kill me. Kill... No. That's not appropriate. Yeah. Learn things. Don't be a colonizer, and stop talking about where you grew up. Those are that's the final list there.
That's not a bad list there.
Does this mean I can't wear my shirt that says colonizer?
Oh no, you can wear.
Okay,
it.
I'm just checking.
It's for comedy sake.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But people will look at it like you're wearing a Make America Great Again.
That's true. I did read an article, and it might have been on The Root or The Undefeated, but somebody said that we should stop. Like, for it was written by an African American man, and he said that we need a racist word for white people that hurts more. And he was suggesting colonizer. He said because nothing else hurts, so we should go with colonizer. That's not going to work. You can't force it. It's got to happen.
Till y'all been enslaved for 400 years.
Yeah, but that was his article, not mine. But I thought, now you're just forcing it now.
No, that's not gonna damn the words. Just do the slavery. We'll be back. Well, give me some reparations. Hey, brother.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back into the show. Man, time has indeed flown by rather quickly here.
Yeah, it has.
I know you don't give a darn, but Tony Finau is at 4 under on Augusta. He just birdied 13, the par 5. I birdied that hole when I played. You know, you wouldn't know nothing about that, but I played this course. Did I mention that?
I got a hole in one at Bear Creek Park. Does that count?
Yes, that counts because I've never had a hole in one.
Yeah.
Hole in one anywhere is impressive.
Yeah.
Wow. Sweet.
That's it. Got the little certificate and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put your name in the paper?
That was, actually, I think I did get my name in the paper. Yeah.
But you did, yeah. Because we put names in the paper.
It was a long time ago. Yeah. That was the day I shot an 89. That was it. That was the best I've ever done. Or 86. I don't remember what it was.
I'll have to get you a copy of that paper. But he is 4 under and leading the Masters. He sprained his ankle yesterday. He dislocated his ankle.
That was a nasty picture.
Popped it back into place. And
that's mainly
that sucker's going to be hurting. And that course is up and down, hilly. Yeah. It's not a tough course to walk distance wise because it's not very long, and the holes were designed from walking from tee box green to tees, short walk for most holes. But it's up and downhill, and you get some weird and awkward lies out there. So it's amazing that he can be leading.
Now, do you think that they would allow him to have a cart like they did Casey Martin? Like, it would be like, okay, you got injured.
No.
You can go the Casey Martin route one. Especially not at the Masters,
take the weekend off. No, not anywhere. And Casey Martin had to sue. He had to go to the Supreme Court to say, hey, this is a disability. I should be allowed to to ride in a cart. And that's overplayed, too. It's not. I mean, it's a part of the game, but it's not like, it's just walking. It has nothing to do with the sport being played. And yeah, I understand the fatigue could come in, but it's just walking. It's not.
Yeah.
If it were that serious, they'd make you carry your own bag.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. That's a good point, too.
So they overdo it, but they overdo a lot of things in golf. And this is, I think, one of the anniversaries of the year. I can't think. DeVincenzo is his name. Probably like 50 years ago, he lost. He should have been in a playoff, but this, you know, the playing partner keeps your score. Guy wrote down the wrong number and he signed it, and everybody knew what he shot.
Yep.
But
doesn't matter.
Those are the rules. That's just stupid.
It is stupid.
I mean, you know, it's not like you got to keep your own score, which is fine, but a simple mistake like that when it's easy to correct.
That shouldn't be something. Yeah. Just because you signed that shouldn't be, especially if it's all recorded and everybody knows. completely different than the honor system of, well, we didn't have anybody on 17 because it was way in the back and you were by yourself.
I was in the woods and I came out. I only took one swing, one throw.
I didn't kick it. I didn't touch it twice. Yeah. What is Tiger doing? He's already played, right?
Yeah, he finished it one over. Oh. So he's that's okay for him. He just needs
to make the cut,
not shoot himself out of the tournament. Oh yeah, no, everybody.
Somebody put up a poll. I don't remember who it was. Oh, it was Sean Salisbury, the Salisbury Show. Do you think he would finish top 10, win it, not be in it on Sunday, or not make the cut? And I just said I think he'll make the cut. I just don't think he'll be in it on Sunday.
I don't know. He hasn't played enough yet, but.
It's almost like it came too soon, right?
We'll see what happens Saturday. No,
it's too early in the comeback.
No, not at all. It's just...
I kind of feel like it is, though. I mean, the comeback really has just started for Tiger. He's just really started to play the Tiger of old in a different way. He's not the same. He'll never be the same Tiger.
Yeah, but he's so good that when he... with him, it's more about his getting the reps in, but one thing that separated him from everyone else was his ability to play around, finish, and go and practice. And he's first... practicing the next morning, last one practicing at night, then he go out hoeing, then he get back up the next night morning and he's the first one out there.
Why did you have to throw that in?
Then he go back out hoeing and it's just, so when he dropped the hoeing and then he got hurt, he couldn't practice a hoe. It's a tough road to hoe. What?
You did your boy dirty. You had to bring up all the hoeing. No one was going to bring that up.
You consider that a negative?
That's all behind him. Yes, that's all behind him. All that money he lost.
Oh, now we're back to the colonoscopy again. 713-780 ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. So, yeah, Texans have a new quarterback. And, I don't remember the guy's name. I'll look it up here.
Joe Webb?
He won't be that memorable. No. But, someone on Twitter mentioned that Webb and Whedon, I think Mark on Twitter was saying Webb and Whedon would be battling for third string because they'll draft the backup quarterback. I don't know if that's the case. I think they'll draft a quarterback and then in the end they will probably sign an undrafted rookie and hope to keep him on the practice squad. But no, you need a legitimate backup quarterback, not a rookie who has to come in and try to
learn from a guy who's only played in six games in the NFL as well. You got two guys learning now.
That's overdone. The learn from a guy. You don't learn from the guy.
Well, you can learn by watching.
The guy's not teaching.
Be around him.
Not really.
Not that he's not. Yeah. That he's teaching you everything
around,
he does.
I've been around Tiger. They ain't turned me into no professional golfer. You can learn how to be a professional, quote unquote, but you can learn that from a defensive back. You can learn that from a running back. You can learn that from an offensive lineman. It's overplayed because, you don't learn from the guy unless the guy bends over backwards to show you what he knows. Brandon Whedon don't know a damn thing to be showing Deshaun Watson. Tom Savage, what the hell does Tom Savage know to teach Deshaun Watson? They don't play the same game.
But you're telling me there would be no value.
I think it's overdone.
Okay, but you're telling me.
I'm not saying there's no value in it, but it's overplayed.
Would they be better off getting a guy like Jay Cutler or Mark Sanchez that can come in and teach?
The teach part is what I'm saying is that's overdone. No, they need somebody to come in and play when they need him to play.
Let's be real. And so it doesn't matter. If they're having to come in and play.
No, it does matter because if you have to play your backup quarterback for two and a half games, say Deshaun gets hurt in a game and has to miss the next two, do you want it to be some dude who's a rookie who hadn't played and you drafted in the fifth or sixth round?
No, definitely not.
Right. I'd much rather it be somebody who has played in the NFL. Somebody who has played well in the NFL.
Oh, okay. Now you get specific.
Somebody who has delivered before. And I would trust in that situation because that could be the difference in going 9-7, which is what Bill,
the goal,
Bill O'Brien knows how to do, or going, 6-10 or something. And you do that, you're out of the playoffs. You're trying to get into the hunt. So we don't know how the season's going to play out, but you need to be prepared for that situation. And right now the Texans aren't as well prepared as I think they need to be, because that's just the way it is. Of the 32 teams, there are probably going to be maybe four quarterbacks this season that play every game, that start every game. That's just
well, and there's only the way it is. Minnesota seems to have figured it out, or at least they did. I mean, I think their offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, had a lot to do with that. He's no longer there, so we'll see if that continues. But Minnesota seemed to have a good string of luck with their backups. Always going to be the case.
The Eagles went out and got a legitimate backup quarterback, someone who's played and delivered in this league, and whatever people thought.
Got to be willing to spend the money too, though.
The guy, like I said, Bob McNair ain't got no money problems. He has no money issues. The team has no money issues. There's no such thing as a salary cap problem for a team. That's one of those things that they use to trick stupid fans and media that don't pay any attention. That, you know, we cut him for salary cap reasons. No, you didn't. You cut him because you didn't want to pay him. Because you could have. There's never a time they had to cut somebody. They just chose to do it. And that's. But, you know, they've promoted money enough that people. Jealous of athletes, and they, you know, ride that train. But no, the Texans,
I don't know about that.
Texans,
I mean, the salary cap is still a salary cap. You can't. You're going to pay a penalty.
No, you don't. Not in the NFL. There's no penalty. In fact, the NFL has a penalty for paying below a certain floor on the cap over a certain number of years. But you can go over the.
So there's no luxury tax if you go over the salary cap in the NFL.
Yeah, you can go over the salary cap. You just structure the contracts in a way you go way over the salary cap. It's not like the NBA where there's. An actual luxury tax, really. Okay. Not at all. Trust me on this. I know these things.
Okay. One more thing before we go. Just real quick. I saw that it was reported that Kyrie is out for the playoffs as well. Is it over for Boston?
Yeah, so I didn't think they had much of a chance anyway.
Okay.
But certainly now. Now both
they would have had a chance if he came back.
Both of the big names in the offseason trade are out for the playoffs. Yeah, Kyrie is out for the next 4 to 5 months or whatever, getting some screws removed from his knee. That's how it is. I mean, the Warriors right now are not the best team in basketball record-wise. Why? Because
injuries.
They've had injuries.
Yep.
Will they be healthy when the time comes? How long will it take Steph Curry to get back up to speed when he comes back? That's one of the reasons the Rockets have as good a chance as anyone has had in recent years to knock off the Warriors.
Indeed.
Enjoyed it, man.
Yeah, man.
It was fun.
See you tomorrow.
You didn't do anything to embarrass white people?
Didn't I, though?
You embarrassed comedians.
Didn't I, though?
That's
Shut your
whole
mouth.
Different group. But it was very entertaining. Enjoyed it thoroughly. Fun. And up next, the best in town, the number one rated show all over the world, AJ and Fred on The Blitz. And we'll be back tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock here on The Usual Suspects. Get them playing. Nico there trying to jam some old school. Go on with your boy. Yeah.
Boy. ESPN 97.5.